Do you want to know exactly how to have a conversation with a seller, how to speak to a seller? Have you ever gotten a wholesaling real estate as a beginner and the seller says, hello, or yeah, I might want to sell my house, and you freeze up like, oh, what do I do? Well, in today's video, webinar, presentation, whatever you want to call it, right? I'm going to teach you exactly how to speak to sellers, and most importantly, how to use that skill of speaking them to close them for big profits in wholesaling real estate. I'm going to pretend that you maybe paid me $5,001. Okay, I don't want to get too specific. But let's say you spent $6,000, $4,000, maybe even $5,000 to hop on my training course program to teach you how to close sellers and for my closing system. Oh, for a wholesaling closing system, you pay me $7,000. There are a lot of internet gurus that do that for wholesaling real estate. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pretend like you pay me $6,000, because honestly, you probably did mentally, to learn this information. You're giving me something more valuable than $6,000, which is your time. So I'm grateful for this. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pretend like everyone watching this paid me $6,000. And I thought about that, you know, when I was kind of making this video over the weekend. I'm like kind of writing out what should I say, getting all the information that's working right now and what's going to be working better in the future for everyone and what's actually legit or not. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go all in on this video and make it as if someone spent $6,000. I had thousands of people in a room, which I could do, to learn how to wholesale real estate, talk to sellers and close them. And so this is what we're doing. And we got a full presentation here for you of how to do it. So I'm super excited about this because so many wholesalers, they get so scared. Oh my gosh, what do I do, right? And they don't know how to talk to sellers correctly. And so what we're going to do is in this live stream is I'm going to show you exactly step-by-step how to do this. I always go, Zach, is this live or pre-recorded? I hate this because y'all already know I always do this live. There ain't no internet guru that does recorded one. This is all live stuff because I'm not a broke wholesaling guru. I always do this live. So what we're doing this live presentation is I'm going to show you exactly how to talk to sellers correctly the right way. No stupid guru is talking to you here, just me. So let's kind of break this down step-by-step and get into this. And so to really talk about wholesaling real estate, we must know the wholesaling process, right? And this is a very important thing. Wholesaling real estate is pretty much divvied into five parts if you really want to do this. And these five parts are super important, okay? Now, wholesaling real estate, from 30 days you want to get a deal right, we're going to start with marketing all the way up to closing the deal. This is pretty much it, okay? Marketing, number one, you are going to find a distressed property. Now, day 7 to 14, you're going to lock up the deal. You're going to find the buyer. You're going to walk them through, get the assignment signed, and get your check wired, repeat, right? I've shown this process many times, this little chart here, but this is pretty simple. Now, what we're speaking about today specifically is we're not getting into marketing, finding the sellers, you know, the first part here. It's really that day 7 to 14, you know, locking up the deal, calling the seller, having that conversation with them, signing a contract, an agreement to buy the house, potentially taking pictures of it, right? This is what we're speaking about today, and this is what we're talking about, right? And so specifically, that is in the wholesaling process what we're talking about today. So as long as you understand this, make it pretty easy for you guys to really understand what to do. Now, for wholesalers watching this, these gurus love to confuse you in wholesaling, and I talk about gurus a lot because they're trying to sell you $7,000, $8,000 programs, and that's all they do. Like, they literally hop on and talk to you guys just to sell. I'm just trying to educate. This is what I'm doing, okay? I'm already a millionaire many times over through wholesaling real estate, and I'm trying to become one of the biggest wholesalers in the whole country, and that's kind of my goal here, right, is to educate you, because the more people I help, the more money I make, because you send me more wholesaling deals. Duh, right? So there's no incentive for me to sell you something. The incentive is so you get really good at wholesaling so you can send me good wholesaling deals. And specifically today is I feel like a lot of wholesalers, you know, they'll make 15, 20 grand on a deal, which is fine, then send it to us. And, you know, we'll split it JV at 50-50. And, you know, I'll make 15, well, if it's 25, you know, 12,500, which not bad. But if some of y'all, okay, could actually watch this video in entirety, don't have their TikTok ADHD brain, oh, I need a dopamine hit every 15 seconds. And you actually just can sit down and listen for an hour or 2 hours, or whatever, of just me talking about how to talk to sellers. And you actually focus. take notes. Pretend like you really paid me $6,000 because you really are. And what I mean by paying me $6,000, either you watch this whole video, actually learn how to have conversations with sellers, how to close them the right way, and that $25,000 deal is going to be a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 deal. It will be, because acquisitions is going to be the key here between you making that $10,000 deal or 15. That's 50% more money, or 10 grand to let's say 16 grand, right, on a deal, because you knew how to lowball. You built that rapport. You actually got a deal that other wholesalers were going after. But guess what? You decided today. You said, you know what? I'm actually going to get really good at talking to sellers. And the cool part about this video here is, if you know how to do it, you will actually get 6 or 7, 8, 9, 10 extra grand this year just in more assignment fees. You probably make an extra 100K if you're making a decent amount of money from just watching this video. And that means you just paid me $6,000. You just saved $6,000. You're going to make $6,000 by watching this. Hey, you're not paying me. You're giving. You're making $6,000 talking to me, which is insane. And so you're going to make $6,000, or you can pretend to pay me $6,000 and you make $20,000 off. I don't care. But you're paying thousands of dollars, the most invaluable asset you have today, your time, to learn how to talk to sellers the right way. And I do this as a live stream because wholesaling real estate changes every single year. And so much changes for it. And so when you pay $6,000 for a guru program, you have to buy it the next year. It's a perpetual sales game. It's stupid. So what we're doing today is just showing you how to do this. And now if you're a beginner and wholesaler, we got to understand these concepts. And I think a lot of people get confused on acquisitions or wholesaling real estate. They get so confused here. Wholesaling real estate is just three parts. I don't care what your guru said, that you got to go do all this. We're talking about wholesaling houses. We're going to run up 300K this year, next year, whatever you want to do. It's what we're talking about. Okay, number one, wholesaling real estate is finding people who want to sell their house for cash. This is marketing. Next year is negotiating and writing up a contract from that person that wants to sell their house for cash for a certain price. Acquisitions, what we're talking about today, okay? And then we sell that contract to a rich landlord or house flipper for a finder's fee. That is dispositions, it's an assignment contract, whatever it is. That is what we're doing. And specifically today, acquisitions. Duh. This is what we're talking about today. We are going to, and if I can kind of go back here, just so we understand this, I'm kind of in the way here, aren't I? But number one, we're finding people who want to sell their house. That is marketing. So texting, calling, reverse drawing for dollars, drawing for dollars, doing, you can do Facebook ads, whatever stupid thing, digital bandit signs, right? You're just finding someone who wants, and you meet someone and say, hey, I'm looking to sell my house for cash. Then after somebody says that, I want you to understand this. After somebody says, hey, I'm looking to sell my house, okay, marketing, we're done. All marketing is, we're not closing people when we're calling, cold calling them. All we're doing in marketing is finding people that want to sell their house. That is it. The millions of dollars I've made in assignment fees every year all comes down to that one question from marketing. My whole marketing department, that is their only goal. Their goal is not to close someone or to get someone that really wants to sell. No, no, no. They just are interested in selling their property for cash. Wow, that's something interesting. Or, no, I want the most for it. Oh, I'm a realtor, right? Oh, I don't get no low ball off, right? You just want to deal with people that want to sell their house for cash, right? And I know sometimes Rick says this and some whole other people, you get people that need to sell their house. There is need, but there are wholesalers there are sellers, that, yeah, they're a tired landlord, so they don't need to sell it, but they want to from a tired landlord. So I used to say need. There's a lot of tired landlord situations we made a lot of money with that they just wanted to sell, right? And so, you know, we're going to say people that want to sell the property, right? And kind of the next part here is the acquisitions part, negotiating and writing up that contract so we can actually make some stinking money here. Okay, that is what we're talking about. So acquisitions, this is what we're talking about today. This is how where's the word acquisitions comes from? Acquisitions comes from basically the word of how we acquire contracts to sign. And basically, we're going to sign them to buy the house. Now, oh, what if I don't have the, oh my gosh, what if I don't have the money? We're signing it. We're good. We have inspection periods. We can get out the deal if we needed to, right? No big deal. But we can sell this contract for a profit. We don't sell the house. We sell the contract. That's wholesaling real estate. Got to remember this. I'm talking about you. You are not a salesperson. You're more of a qualifier or an interviewer. And I can only scream this from the rooftop so many times. but you are going to be a qualifier or an interviewer. You're not a salesperson. And we'll talk about it a little more, but like, that's not acquisitions. Your guru has got you wrong. It's not sales training. We're not selling anything, right? I mean, technically you're selling yourself, but it's not like that. I'll explain this, but we got you covered what to say. Today's video, you know, this live stream, this presentation, right? I'm going to show you exactly what you got to tell the seller. Because that's really the question a lot of people have. And so, like I said before here, wholesalers, we are not salespeople, okay? You talk to sellers to qualify them, okay? By asking questions, all right? And we give offers. So we ask questions and we give offers. That is 95% of acquisitions I've honestly seen. We ask questions and give offers. There's rapport building. There's other stuff on here. But honestly, like what most of this business is asking people questions and giving them offers. You don't really sell. Okay. You ask questions, you give offers. We can buy this house for this. So many wholesalers want to, oh, it's this crazy process, bro. It's really complicated. No, it's not. Wholesaling is not that complicated. All right. Asking questions, giving offers. No one ever talks about it like this. This is it. This is what this business is. And so let's kind of talk about marketing versus acquisitions. All right. So marketing, kind of like I've said before, marketing is about finding people who want to sell their property. Acquisitions, on the other hand, here is basically the art of getting a signed contract from a motivated seller. That is what we're doing here. So the question comes, what is a motivated seller? Now, go back here again. You know, I think we can understand this, right? Acquisitions, again, is the art of getting signed contracts from motivated sellers. Not from sellers, motivated sellers. So what's a motivated seller? A motivated seller is a person who wants to sell the property due to a certain circumstance, okay? Or a motivating factor. Motivated seller, motivating factor, right? What are motivated factors? Divorce, foreclosure, code violations. People are just sick of the upkeep of the property. Kind of landlord. There's just so arrests, right? There are so many ways somebody or reasons why somebody want to sell their property. And this is just one of them, right? And so we got to understand here, what's a motivated seller? It's someone wants to sell the property due to a motivating circumstance. Pretty easy, pretty simple. I mean, I've talked about this forever, but that is what a motivated seller truly is. And so now in acquisitions, we understand that, okay. So we're looking to close sellers that are motivated due to a circumstance. We're kind of understanding this, right? We're getting here. So this is really important. There are four questions to ask to see if a person is a motivated seller or not. All right. So this is kind of the point where marketing and acquisitions splits. All right. And so once somebody has indicated that they are looking to sell the property, they're actually interested in a cash offer on their property. This is when people start, oh my gosh, what do I do? Right. You get that all the time. And really, it's simple. You just ask four questions. That's how 99% of my conversations go. I answer direct mail calls. If I cold call someone, anyone on team texts and they want to sell, we get straight into this. All right. And every single stinking time, we do the same exact thing. All right. This is the one part of wholesaling that really doesn't change too crazy. It's just conversations with sellers for wholesaling. But again, let's kind of talk about this again here. All right. If somebody wants to sell their property, we just ask them these four questions. The reason why I ask these four questions is it's going to see if that person, number one, is going to be a regular seller or a motivated seller. Very important between these two. Is this a regular seller who just wants to sell it just for the most, or the realtor? Or is this someone that's actually looking to sell the property? So many stinking wholesalers don't understand this. And so when we're talking to this, we got to understand wholesaling real estate for acquisitions is going to break someone's heart, but it's absolutely true. In acquisitions for wholesaling real estate, you have to understand that 99% of people, honestly, 98 maybe, that want to sell a house, want to sell it for the most amount of money, which means they should go with a, excuse my French, realtor, because realtors, they're basically designed for you to get the most for the house. And it's not a perfect system that I have explained. I explain this a lot of times, but it's an imperfect system, okay? But what you got to understand here is that they want to sell for the most. And so in acquisitions, what we got to do is find the motivated. So the 2% that don't want to sell for the most, they actually want to sell for a discount because they just want to get rid of it for cash, like a pawn shop or a used car dealership. They just want to get rid of it. They don't want to go through all the hassle of selling the house themselves or going with a realtor and all that stuff. They just want to get rid of it, right? And that's the 2%. And now how do I figure out, right, the 98% from the 2%? The easiest, most simple way I have personally found, all right? I'm telling you, it drives me crazy. But to find that 98% from the 2%, which most wholesalers don't understand, is by asking four questions. MCTP. I've said this a million times. Again, it's MCTP. MCTP stands for motivation, condition, time frame, and price. That is it. The four questions to see if a person or a seller is motivated or not is motivation, condition, time frame, and price. And so what I want to do is do a small role play with you. And just so you can see me kind of live in action doing this. I mean, I've done it way too many times. It's like driving a car. You know, I think about it, but I don't think about it at the same time. Sometimes my brain just takes over and I just do it. But it's true. And so when I'm talking to a motivated seller, we're going to kind of pop it on here so you can kind of see me have a conversation. So if I'm talking to a motivated seller and they say, yes, Zach, I actually am looking to sell my property. I'm like, okay, well, can you tell me a little bit more about the property? And me just saying that, it just seems casual, right? Just, can you tell me a little more about the house then? Okay, so it's over in Royal Oak Acres, okay, in Michigan, all right, and it's two bedrooms, okay, and just like, so, I mean, how's the kitchen and everything on it, right? If I buy it, am I going to have to do any renovations to it, right? I'm just, so me just saying those casual words, that was actually right, that was condition, just casually saying it, right? I don't have to go in order, FYI. Okay, I mean, this seems like a decent property in a decent area. I mean, why are you even considering selling the property? See, boom, that was motivation right there. Okay, I mean, so you're looking to go move down to Georgia with your family, okay, in Columbus, all right. So you got a brother there in the military. Okay, wow, that's amazing, right? That's a big base over there, right? Oh, wow, okay. Well, I mean, if I'm telling you, I know it's Michigan, yeah, it's about to get really cold. I mean, are you looking to sell when? Like before winter hits? Like when are you looking to sell, Mr. Seller, right? Time frame. And then prices. I mean, what's a ballpark range you're looking to get rid of the property for? Boom, price. And so again, that's kind of just, I know I kind of spit it out casually. That's just how I talk with sellers. That's just how I have conversations. But that's pretty much how it is. So again, motivation. Why are you looking to sell the property? Condition, can you tell me about the property, the roof, AC, any repairs that need to be done in the house? Now, what I want you to understand about condition is a lot of people like to get really, really technical with it, right? Oh, what's the age of the oak on the wood of the property? And you know, what's the year of the AC system? Okay, is it a slab shingle? What kind of shingles are we talking here? You know, what's the company that built the property? Is this a Holiday Builder's home, or what's the type of building on the home? And what's the exact dimensions of the fourth bedroom? Guys, your sellers are not experts in real estate. You cannot talk over them, all right? And so this is the difference between a really good surgeon and doctor and a really okay doctor, okay? And, you know, it's about being good at the medicine, but like another really important part about doctors is doctors are a lot smarter than you when it comes to medical stuff. This might be a surprise, but they are. And the cool thing that really good doctors can do is they can translate something very advanced. You know, let's say they're doing open heart surgery, right? And they talk about all these crazy veins and all that, but they make it really simple. Like, hey, this guy had this issue here. We put a stent in, or it, and they just kind of explain what's a stent. Well, a stent does this, and they can explain it very well down to a fifth grade level. That works really well. And why they're so good at that, lawyers are really good. Good lawyers can explain things at a fifth grade level too, even though what they're doing is very advanced. And you can do the same thing with talking to a seller, right? We can get really complicated on real estate, right? You can get really in the weeds of this. But if you can explain at a fifth grade level to a motivated seller, you're good to go. You'd be surprised here. Most Americans read at an eighth or ninth grade level. Not weird. And so you should not be speaking above an eighth or ninth grade level to most people, right? And so no crazy big words when you're talking to motivated seller. I know you want to sound smart. Leave that for a date or something. We're not going to get crazy advanced with this. And so we're making simple questions, simple conversation, and pretty easy. And now, one thing I want you guys to really understand about me and how I have conversations with sellers and how I do my acquisitions is I make it easy. I make it simple, right? I'm to the point. My name's Zach. I'm looking to buy a couple houses for cash. Tell me about your property. I'm very casual with it. You know, that has, out of my 7 years of wholesaling real estate, 2,000 plus wholesaling deals, I was able to always close more deals being myself and just being simple and to the point. The problem is a lot of you guys listen to some broke wholesaling gurus that make it seem like, oh, I'm a suit and tie, we're real professionals here. Rah, 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 rah. Hello, my name is Zach, and I have a hedge fund corporation that we're looking to acquire more property in the area. And you know, we're a finance institution, and we got our departments here. We have a finance department, and we have to go through the underwriting process here. And we're really advanced here, and we got a real title company. We was real lawyers, you know, John Jeremy Esquire is who we're working with here. And guys, like, it's not 1943, right? Like, oh, yes, sir, we're really professional, advanced. You can't relate to anyone like that. When you talk to your friends like that, we're not corporate America here, okay? We're actually real people. We're talking to real people, right? It's always funny. And so that is, I've always closed more sellers doing that. And you got to understand, you cannot be this crazy advanced sales type person. That's not what it is. You just got to be yourself. That has always closed more deals for me than anyone else. And the people I do well, they always close just with their own thing. Super easy, okay? Like, as an example, right? All the sellers I know that are like kind of the South, right? You know, like Missouri, Arkansas. If you speak like a posh accent, like, they're not going to relate to you at all. You got to have a little Southern draw, nothing crazy, right? I mean, people in Tennessee do that really well too, but you honestly don't need it either. Like, I've closed so many deals in Tennessee without that Southern draw type thing, but you got to talk and be relatable. And so those four questions, they're easy, they're simple, they're relatable, and they get the deal, right? And once you understand that this conversation, the way that you converse with a seller and speak to a seller is going to be all about your confidence, all right? What is the definition of confidence? Confidence is the high level of belief in what one is speaking about, talking about, or saying. So if you believe in what you're saying, you're going to sound confident. If you do not believe in what you're saying, you're not going to be confident at all. And remember, confidence, again, is the belief in what you're saying. So believe what you're asking, what you're saying. And you shouldn't be lying about believing this, right? You should honestly say the dang truth. Do you believe in yourself when you ask, can you tell me about the property? That people like ums and buts. Can you tell me about the property? You don't sound confident at all saying that, right? Can you tell me a little more about the property? Simple, easy. That's what gets deals, guys. You have to be confident, which is kind of a where, oh, I need experience to be confident. You don't really need too much crazy experience. You just got to believe what you're saying. And so a lot of confidence is a belief in what you're doing. You might be a little nervous, but you still be confident while you're nervous. And this is something not a lot of people understand this. And so you got to understand that you have to have a belief in what you're saying. Belief is going to be super important, especially when you give offers to motivated sellers. That belief is going to be crucial for wholesaling success. And so if anyone watching this believes, let me know. Say, I believe what I'm saying. Once you believe in what you're saying, a lot of things are going to start opening up. You're going to do a lot better, but believe in what you say. Now, there's going to be three important questions in wholesaling that we have to ask ourselves, okay? If you do not know how to answer this, you're going to be a fish out of water talking to sellers. And this is one that's kind of just been like, I used to call this basically an objection, but I've come to realize and maturing, I guess, over the years, is these aren't really objections. These are people just trying to understand you better. And so there are three fundamental questions for acquisitions when you're talking to a seller that you have to know off the top of your head. Number one, who am I? This is an important one. And you're going to ask this. This is not an objection, but who are you? Right? So the three questions are basically, who are you? What do you want? And why do you want it? And let me repeat myself, okay? You might want to write this down. I mean, you spent me $6,000, so I got to tell you about this, right? When you're talking to a motivated seller, they're going to want to know who you are, what you want, and why do you want my product? So again, is who are you? What are you doing calling me? And why do you want to buy my property? You really got to understand these things. And these aren't, I used to call them objections, but they're really not objections. These are just people that want to know more about you. All right. So someone calling you, someone's trying to buy your house that you owned in 30 years, you're going to ask some questions. Not a big deal, right? And so now we understand this, we should understand how to answer these, right? And I can't answer it perfectly for you, but I can tell you what I use, and you can kind of extrapolate from there of exactly what you should be doing. And so number one is, who am I? Hey, my name is Zach Ginn. Me and my partner's looking to buy some houses in the area for cash. That's it. We're looking to buy a couple houses in the area for cash. That is who I am. Does that make sense? I mean, that's who I am. My name is Zach Ginn. Me and my partner, cash buyer, Rick, whatever. We're looking to buy some houses for cash in the area. That's who we are. Oh, I'm Zach with the Zach Home Solutions Company. And we're a home specialist company that have solutions for you. And you're like, stop. Okay. Stop the madness. All right. Do not be doing stupid stuff like that. Who are you? Make it, if you can't, I've always said this, right? If you can't explain your job in three words, it's not a real job. All right. And what I mean by that, I've always had this. Oh, I'm a tech specialist company for a multi cash organization. If you can't explain what you do for a living in three words that a toddler doesn't understand, you don't have a real job. What's my job? I buy houses. I flip homes. I wholesale real estate, right? If you can't explain your job, right? I manage people, right? Manager, right? I trade stocks, right? You got to think about like that. If you can't explain to someone what you do for a living, I play football, right? Like, you know, I write books. You know, just if you can't explain your job in three words, it's not a real job. Being honest with you, I'm the president, you know, like any job you want to think about, if you can't say it in three words, it's not a legit one, right? I'm a trash man. You really think about each one, you got to do it. I'm a nurse. I'm a doctor, right? If you cannot explain your job in three words, it's not a real job. And so people want to know what's your job and why are you doing this, right? I buy houses. I sell houses, right? I'm a realtor. If you can't explain your job in three sentences, it's not a real job. And this is something I've learned in the past year, talking to people that are just BSing me on things. If you can't explain what you do in three words, you're not doing the right way. And so just understand, don't make this complicated or crazy, all right? Don't make it crazy, right? And so what you understand is, that's it, all right? So who am I? My name is Zach. Me and my partners are looking to buy some houses in the area for cash. The simpler, the better, all right? Do not give me a 5-paragraph explanation of what you do, all right? I'm a multimedia consultant for a large corporation, and what I do is I organize great data sets. And no, you're an assistant. I'm an assistant. That's what you are. Don't try to overglorify things. Three words, that's all you do, all right? I make money. That's my job. But that's who I am. Now, the next one is, what do I want, right? Well, what I want to do is I want to buy some houses in the area for cash, and specifically Port St. Lucie, Fort Pierce, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Charlotte, whatever it is. That's just what you got to explain. So what do you want? I'm looking to buy some houses for cash. Who am I? What do I want, right? You just have to explain it 1 to 2 sentences. That is it. And it's very relatable, and people actually understand and trust you. When you can be just straight up with someone, it means a lot, all right? It's super important, all right? And just, you got to be legit with it, though. You got to be honest, but that's what you want, right? Now, why do I want it? So it's a little more complicated, but why do you want to buy my house? Basically to make money, right? But you can explain it, right? So basically, me and my partner, we're looking to buy some houses for rentals. Sometimes we'll buy it and fix and flip it if it needs a little more work. You know, if the property needs termite, if it's got termites in it, I got to replace a bunch of things. It really depends on the property, but really we're here to make money on the house, either as a rental or to flip it. That's what me and my partner are looking to do. That is why I want to buy your property. I mean, does that make sense? I mean, it's pretty simple, right? It's not crazy advanced. Simple, right? So remember, guys, no wholesaling guru is ever going to tell you about this stuff. But this is when you actually wholesale houses and talk to sellers. This is what you got to, when I teach acquisitions people, this is what we're doing now, right? We kind of put this in the objections category, but now we just put it in our standard acquisitions program, right? And again, what is this? Who am I? What do I want? And why do I want it? Easy and simple. So let's go over this one last time. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a little exercise with you. I'm going to pretend to be the seller, and I'm going to ask you these three questions. And what I want you to do is explain it to me. and you only have two sentences to explain this, okay? Then I'll explain it, all right? So it's going to sound weird if you're watching this without explaining this, so we're going to see. So again, we're going to do this, okay? Ready? Who are you? My name is Zach, and me and my partners are looking to buy a couple more houses in the area for cash. You should, when I said who are you, you should have explained that, okay? Again, what I want. What do you want? Well, I want to buy some houses in the area for cash, me and my partner. All right, again, let's do another one. Why do I want it? All right, so why are you looking to buy my house? Good. All right. So why do I want to buy? So why do you want to buy my house? Well, I'm looking to buy the house to make some money. So either we'll buy it to rent it out, me and my partner, or we'll buy it just to flip it for a profit. I mean, it depends on the property. If it needs a lot more work, we'll probably try to flip it. If it doesn't need it, probably rent it out. Simple, right? That's where my cash buyers are. That's me and my partner, right? Boom. It just, you go over that simple exercise. I promise you, it makes it a lot easier, right? And so now we understand here that 80% of acquisitions is going to be listening. Let me repeat myself. 80% of this is all going to be listening. Listening is so crucial, so important. The other 20% is asking or talking, right? And so we got to remember, Rick's always said this, but like, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth. So it's okay, get it, right? And so you have to be a good listener. And everyone says extroverts are the best holes. No, they're not, right? Introverts are better because introverts like to listen more than they speak. And that is all wholesaling real estate is when it comes to your acquisitions, all right? You have to learn when to shut up. And a lot of rapport building is done not by talking, but by just listening, all right? And you got to understand people feel more connected with you when they can explain something to you and they actually think that you understand what their issues in life and things are. I'm not trying to be all psychological on you. We've got a lot of psychological books I've read on psychology, sales, things like that. And what I've always found is listening is so important. And so the art of listening is 80% of acquisitions here, all right? And the gurus are screaming. They're punching the air right now like, no, Zach, don't say that. It's part of my $7,000 program. I've always found this, right? And so in our company, we have something called the 80-20 rule. And what the 80-20 rule is, we have call rail. That's what we use for answering all of our phones and things. When we look at the call rail, it's cool. It says agent and customer on it, which basically it'll show you the splits. And the reason is it'll show you how much time the customer or the seller spoke on the phone and how much the agent, right? Basically, not a real estate agent, but like the person in our company, the acquisitions specialist, whatever you want to call them, right? How much they spent talking. And it should be 80-20. And we always look at the recorded calls and we basically explain them that 80% of it should be the person talking and 20% should be us talking. And then the question is like, Zach, but what do I say? Right? What do I say? Well, this is pretty simple. Okay. I mean, not complicated. What I say for 20, you ask questions, right? That's it. I'm telling you, if you ask the questions, people will talk. All right. Everyone's got the gift of gab here, right? They'll love talking. And so that is what a lot of acquisitions is. It's all just listening. And I'm doing a lot of talking here. I'm doing a lot of listening, which is fine, but all about listening. And so when we have conversations with motivated sellers, we got to avoid potty words, bad words. These are words when you have conversations, you need to not say. All right, let me explain this. You cannot say these words. I do not endorse anyone saying these words, all right? Let's explain this, okay? When you talk to a seller, you do not say any of these words. These are bad potty words. I'll scream at you. I'd rather you say curse words than this, honestly, all right? I don't want you to say curse words talking to a seller, unless they're okay with it, I guess. I don't know. But I would rather you just throw out F-bombs than just saying these words. That's how much these words are bad. All right. Number one, investor. Do not say the I word, investor. Don't say investor, right? That's bad connotations with that word. Do not say the C word. What's the C word, Zach? Contract. Okay. Contract. Do not say the word contract. Say the word agreement instead. Don't say investor. Say cash buyer, partner. You know, are you investors? Well, I mean, if someone asks me, I'm going to say, well, theoretically, yeah, sure. we buy property and we invest it for money, I guess. So sure, we're an investor, but like, I don't bring it up. Contract, no, I just say agreement. I don't say signature or sign. Can you sign this paper or can you sign this contract? And can you autograph this agreement? And so we like using the word autograph versus sign. It's just less scary for the seller. We've closed better saying that. And then last but not least, this is so important. I think a lot of newbie wholesalers don't do this. And kind of what I explained about doctors, lawyers, don't speak above an eighth grade, ninth grade level. But real estate lingo, do not say insane real estate lingo. So don't tell the seller ARV, comps, cash flow, right? Just don't be saying those words, all right? Even when doing creative financing, can we do subject to, or can we do lease option or seller finance, right? I mean, you can do seller finance. That's kind of understandable, but like I use payments. What if you gave us some money up front, we just paid you? Instead, we can do that too, right? Very, very, very important you don't say those bad words. You say those bad words, you close a lot less sellers and you get less contracts. And so you don't want to be doing that. So avoid these bad words. Do not say these words. Avoid them like the plague. All right? Capiche? Makes sense. And again, here, talking to sellers, again, this is another one. How you say words is almost as important as what you say. So how you say is almost as important as what you say. And so tone and tonality never gets talked about too much, but having a good tone when you're speaking is going to be a lot better. All right? So have a smile. Match your seller's energy. And so the tone of tonality is going to be the difference talking to a seller of like, hey, I'm looking to buy your property for cash versus, hey, I'm looking to buy your property for cash, or hey, I'm looking to buy your house for cash. Some of y'all will just talk to sellers like, hey, I'm looking to buy your house. Wait. Not what you're doing here, okay? We have energy here. We're talking. One important thing I've always shown is have a smile when you speak. It doesn't seem like, I'm over the phone, no one can really see me. But when you speak, when you have a smile, you just sound better. You sound happier, right? It's a lot less likely to sound angry when you're happy or you have a nice voice, right? Do not try to have this like monotone voice. And no, don't be a little crybaby either. You're alive. You have an opportunity to live today. You should be jacked up and excited for that, right? I always am. And so you gotta understand here that your tonality is really important, right? And so again, have a smile, match your seller's energy. And what I mean by match your seller's energy is maybe you've had me see all these live calls I've done with sellers. When they speak to me and they kind of speak a little slower and a little softer voice, maybe they're a little older and they're like, yeah, I might look to sell my property. I'm not gonna say, yeah, I'm looking to buy your house. No, say, okay, well, I'm looking to buy your property too. Or they say, hey, I am looking to sell my house. Oh, great. Like, I'm looking to buy your house too. Match the energy. People like people that are like them. Might be a shocker, right? A lot of people care about themselves. And so you find someone that's like you, you're going to like them better. Easy, simple as that, right? Not complicated at all. So tone and tonality. Make sure you match your sellers. Make sure you have a smile. Super important. But match your seller's energy, okay? It's super important here. If you have your tonality wrong, you're not going to close many deals. And so how do I build trust and rapport with my motivated sellers, right? I use a pretty simple method here. I use the Ford method. I use humor. I let the seller speak. Again, this is never talked about anywhere, but when you let the seller speak, they understand you better. And when you let them talk more, you do it better and you care about the seller and their needs. Again, what do I mean by letting the seller speak? Have you ever been on a date and, you know, with someone, You try to let them speak. You don't try to take hold of the conversation, right? If you ever, you know, dated someone and they became your husband or wife, usually that first date, you let them speak 80% of the time. You'll find out the date goes better when they speak more because they're like, wow, this person really understands me. And people just, they like it when they can talk about themselves all day. I'm not saying people are selfish, but like psychologically, let's say get people to like you more. Just FYI. I just, the same thing with sellers. And so you got to remember the Ford method. That's how I do to kind of build more rapport. And so what's the Ford method? Ford method stands for F-O-R-D. F stands for family. So you talk about the person's family. O, occupation. Talk about what they do for a living. R is recreation, what they like to do for fun. And D is dreams, what they want to do in the future, where they want to see themselves, all these things. You got to remember here, how do I ask this? Something like, hey, how's your family doing? Or is your family moving where you're going to? Oh, what do you do for a living? Are you moving here? Is that going to change what you're going to do for a living? Our recreation. Oh, you're going to Florida. Do you like fishing or whatever you can do? Build a rapport. Dreams. What are you looking to do in the future? Right. You know, retire, whatever. Right. That's a great way to build rapport. If you're going in person on the acquisitions, if you see a golf ball or something, talk about golf. If you like golf, anything you can kind of build a connection, that is always super important. This is another one, humor. Some people have it, some people don't. You know, some people are naturally funnier than others, some people aren't. I personally, you know, my humor is a lot different than other people's. But like, I can be funny, but also I can be funny in a rapport sense. And so, you know, I'm funny my own ways, I guess. I'm not like the funniest guy in the world, but when I talk to a seller, you know, I can get them to laugh a little. Like, oh, you got that car? Oh my gosh, it's breaking down. Yeah, I used to have one of those things. It sucks. Oh, I feel bad for you. Right? Just like, it's hard to just explain. It kind of in the heat of the moment. If you see me doing my live calls, I do it, right? Or you just, oh, wow, look at that, right? And just, you kind of joke about something, right? Oh, your neighbors. Oh, I bet you love your neighbors. Yeah, no, you don't, right? I know it sounds stupid, but like just that little rapport, that little like humor, it's like, oh, this person's not a monotone newbie salesperson, right? This person's just a regular guy. I can talk. It's more like a friend, right? You can joke around with your friend, right? That's what I like to do, right? Just one thing I found the best with humor is talking about spouses. And what do I mean by that, right? So if I'm talking to a husband and he's saying, oh, I got to talk this over with my wife. I'm like, hey, I get it, man. Happy wife, happy life. I know this sounds really dumb, but like little tiny things like that's like, okay, this guy's an actual guy or a gal. Like this is a real human, right? This isn't a salesperson at the end of the day, right? It helps so much. And this is one of these AI sales training things that like, they just can't do. Put a little bit of connection in there. It always helps. Even if it's like one little joke, don't do something stupid or crazy, but just be very, very important. Okay. If you can input some humor, it'll help a lot. Let the seller speak. And again, last but not least, care about the sellers. Actually care what they're going through. I know this sounds shocking for most people, but just care. I think most people watching this do care, and they understand people's needs and trying to meet them and help them out with selling their property. Simple as that. So that's how I build trust and rapport with my sellers. Now, wee-woo. This is super important, okay? Let's change this to red. Okay. Red, this is urgent. This is very urgent, okay? Are we awake here? Are we sleeping? Are we on our phones, Xavier? What are we doing here, right? Like, are we actually focusing on what I'm saying here? This is really important, all right? Xavier's in the back. He was on his phone. But I'm just telling you guys, pay attention here, all right? This is, if there's one thing in this presentation you need to pay attention to, all right? This is it. This whole video, there's only one thing you can watch. This is it. All right. If there's one thing you can get out of this, this is the most important part. From the people that close to your sellers and the people that don't close sellers, right? This is going to be the key thing. All right. You got to understand in wholesaling real estate, the worst thing in acquisitions is to be put in the perpetual maybe or the friend zone in wholesaling. All right. What I mean by that, you give an offer to a seller, it's a great offer. You're going to close this great deal. And then the seller says, maybe. I'll think about it. That's how every guru acquisitions person does it. And then they're like, oh, okay. And then boom, you know what they do? They let someone else get the deal. And then someone else gets the deal and you cry about, oh, the wholesale looks so saturated. I bet I gotta pay another $6,000 course with it. No, we don't do this in this channel. We get deals and we get them closed and we do it the right way. That's why I beat any other sales guru wholesaler, because I teach you how to wholesale real estate the right way. And what this is my big secret. It's called conditioning sellers. That it's called, you have to condition the seller mentally, kind of brainwash them to a point where they are not going to put you in the friend zone. It's an ultimatum, if you will. Basically saying, will you make a yes or no decision when I go give you an offer right now? Are you going to do it? And what I do is I say, are you ready to make a yes or no decision? And so let me show you right now what conditioning the sellers is. Before I ever give an offer, I always, I have fired acquisitions people for not doing this, okay? It's conditioning a seller. This is the line. Screenshot this, whatever you want. This is in freewholesaling.com, my free wholesaling course. This is super important. Again, before I come see the house, I don't want to waste your time or my time. And I'm usually very busy. I know you're a busy person too. I only go to the property usually only once to look at it before I actually purchase it and make the decision. And so I just before I come by, I want to know, are you ready to make a yes or no decision on selling the property? If we agree on everything, simple as that. And so one way I can do it is, you know, I can't read off the screen. It's not how I'm mentally wired, right? It's memorized. So, hey, Mr. Seller, just before I go have a call with you, before we actually talk about this a little further, I'm doing virtual acquisitions here. You know, but before we do this, I want to know, are you ready to make a yes or no decision on selling the property? I just don't want to waste your time or my time. Okay. So you are ready to make a yes or no decision on selling it right now. Okay, perfect. I don't give offers and then we just waste time. I do it and we're good to go. Okay, perfect. And so if I do like in person, like, hey, Mr. Seller, just making sure you're still good for 2 o'clock tomorrow. Okay, perfect. So what I want to do is just make sure, are you ready to make a yes or no decision on selling it when I go there? I only go to the house once. I'm not here to waste your time or my time. I know you're a busy person. I'm a busy person. I only go to the property once. Are you ready to make a yes or no decision when I come there at 2 o'clock to sell the property? Yes, you are. No, you're not. You need your wife with you. I get it. Well, just call me. Let me know when your wife's there or a time that works for your wife, right? And so you're going to see is a lot of people that say no, it's because, oh, no, my wife's not here. Not all the decision makers are here. Or if they say yes, they're ready to go. And so when you give that offer, you're only going to get a yes or a no. And here's the cool part about when you get a no. When you get a no on the offer, okay, well, what works for you? And then you do what we call negotiating. Duh. Negotiating is in people's blood, all right? Ever since you were a toddler and you're negotiating with your mom about how many, if you can get ice cream tonight for dinner, right? It's all negotiating. That's all life is. And so if you can condition your seller to never give you a maybe, you're good to go. You don't want to be putting that perpetual friend zone. It's not what we do in wholesaling, right? We ain't no chumps here. Again, so screenshot this, whatever you want. You got to practice it a lot. But I'm telling you, this will give you a higher close rate than ever. I have so many sellers that give me a maybe. And then I say, well, remember you said maybe, but like, remember when you agreed to give me a yes or no decision? I mean, I know I'm a man of my word. Are you a man of your word? Then their ego is getting, I am a man of word. So are you ready to make a yes or no decision or no? I guess so. I did say that, didn't I? Fine. Sign. Cash in the bank, right? Scare money, don't make money, right? And so when we understand that, conditioning the seller, close a lot more wholesaling deals, guys. That's what it's all about. And so we can take red alert off of here, okay? But this was very, very important, all right? Because if you do not condition your sellers, every time somebody... Here's my favorite one. When I talk to someone in acquisitions and they say, oh, Zach, I was negotiating, just the deal fell apart. That is my biggest pet. What do you mean the deal fell apart? Well, you know, they said they might want to sell it or they were considering my offer. What do you mean they're considering? Did you condition them for a yes or no decision? Oh, I skipped that part in the course. Duh. That's why you're broke. Telling you guys, you either do that or you don't. It's as simple as that. That's why wholesalers get really screwed up. You get good leads, you don't close them because you did not do this. Just got to understand this, guys. That's how you close sellers. And so conditioning your seller is a must. And then we're going to do a virtual, we're going to talk about virtual wholesaling like at the end here. But we're talking about in-person wholesaling, right? Basically, in-person wholesaling, we walk around the house, we go meet them at the property, right? You got to point out things of concern. The best analogy here is just act like you're buying a car. Build some rapport and you just kind of get to the chase at the end, right? And what I mean by buying a car is when you go buy a car, do you act like you're an expert in vehicles and cars? Oh, is this a V2 engine with a, what was it? No, you don't act like a mechanic. I don't look under the hood and say, oh, where's the gasket cap and the spark plugs? And Rick makes fun of me. Like I'm not, I'll be straight up with everyone. Like I am not the mechanic car expert. I am not. All right. I make a lot of money wholesaling houses. That's what I'm very good at. I'll pay someone to do it. Right. Simple as that. I'm not the expert. I personally am not an expert plumber either. Now I'm a pretty good handyman plumber from all the flips I've done. But when it comes to a car engine, I do not for the life of me know how to fix a bad issue. Right. I got my friends to help me out. And so, you got to understand this. I don't but I can buy and flip cars if I wanted to, because like, I'm simple to the point by how I'm not an expert in contracting either, but I'm an expert in contracting properties for wholesaling. And what you understand is you just act like you're buying a car. When you buy a car, you're not an expert doing it, right? Hey, how many miles, you know, general stuff. Like what's the miles on the car? Does this not look right? Are there dents on it? Right? Does it drive good? Right? Simple. You're not complicated here, right? And so you just walk around, see if anything of concern, build rapport, and get to the closing line. That's it. And so what I want to do right here is kind of get to my closing lines for wholesaling houses. All right. So I have a lot of closing lines when it comes to me closing the deal. And so basically you go to the appointment, talking the offer, you condition them, then boom, ready to go to get the deal closed. And these are the closing lines. And these are basically the lines I use to get an offer out there. And now you got to remember, when it comes to offers for wholesaling, we always go for low, low offers. And what that means is, think of what your MAO is, or what your offer, your ARV minus repairs and your multiplier, everything at freelisten.com, right? You just think of that. Think exactly what that offer should be. Think of what initial offer should be to your seller. Think about it. Okay, I got my MAO here. I got that. Okay. Now, take 25% off of what your lowest offer you think you'd give to a seller. Just take 25% off it. That's what your offer should be. And so what I found, about 70 to 65% of your MAO should be what your initial offer should be. It's what we call your LAO, your least allowable offer. No one in the wholesaling talks about this either. Your LAO is super important, your least allowable offer. And the point of this is, when we talk to our acquisitions people, we kind of teach you guys how to do this, right? We have one mantra when it comes to giving offers to motivated sellers. And this is go for no. Let me repeat myself. Go for no means you have to go for the no. That means when we give an offer to a seller, it's going to be a no instantly. But that's okay. Then we can negotiate from there. I've explained this so many times, but when you negotiate like a toddler. And what do I mean by that? All right. So if my mom, let's say I'm a five-year-old and we're negotiating for, I don't know, cookies or something, right? And my mom says, Zach, I can give you 2 Oreos for dessert for a treat. And I say, no, I want 1,000 Oreos. No, you're not getting 1,000 Oreos. I'm going to say, well, can we just meet in the middle at 500 Oreos? Well, that makes sense. You meet in the middle. Boom. Was that ridiculous? Yes. You know why? Because my offer was so ridiculous. Just to meet in the middle of my ridiculous offer, I'm going to win there, right? And so half of even to meet in the middle of 2 Oreos to 1,000, you get 500 Oreos. That's stupid, right? That's what we do. And so what I mean by that is if you get such a low offer, like an embarrassing low offer, and then you get their offer and you meet in the middle of that, you're still going to win. This is why I hate people who say never split the difference. If your offer is so insane low and you split the difference, you still make 30, 40 grand on the deal. And this is what we talk about, going for the no. And so these are some of my strategies for closing sellers and negotiating. It's pretty simple, but let's talk about it. Number one, this is what we call the low ball, or the standard low ball, right? This is not my favorite one, but this is one you could do, right? Just what's the low ball? Hey, Mr. Seller, talking over with my partner here, and we can probably buy this for around $40,000. I'm not a fan of it. It is a strategy. It is out there. Is that the one I like? No. No. That is not what we like, but it is one that does close deals. I've done it before. If you were going to do it, I would use a scrunchy face method that Rick always talks about, that we've always implemented. But it's like, Mr. Seller, I think we can buy it for like $40,000 and just go from there. It's not my favorite, but it is a method that does work. My favorite, and we're kind of bringing this in the beginning here, but this is my favorite method for closing sellers. This is called the good cop, bad cop method. Okay, let me repeat myself. It's called the good cop, bad cop method. Now, the good cop, bad cop method is the hands down the best method to close any motivated seller, in my personal opinion. What is the good cop, bad cop method? I've explained this a lot, but I'm always going to explain this because I'm expecting new wholesalers to try to learn this. And I'm going to help you out. So the good cop, bad cop method is we have a good cop and we have a bad cop, right? And this is how any negotiation in law enforcement goes, with the good cop, bad cop. You have the mean cop, super mean, aggressive, and you have the good cop who's trying to help you out. But really, the good cop, bad cop work together to get what they want, right? And the reason is this method works so well, and they've been doing it for hundreds of years in law enforcement because it works like crazy. It always works. And so what you got to do here is you got to do the same method for wholesaling houses. No acquisitions person. No, you could pay a guru 15 grand to learn acquisitions. They ain't even going to tell you this method because they don't do wholesaling. Just being honest. All right. So knowing this with the good cop, bad cop method is you want to always put the blame on someone else. Okay. Hey, I'm sorry, Johnny here arrested. He's the mean guy, right? I'm the nice guy. Oh, you don't like what? You don't like the handcuffs? That's Johnny right there. He's the mean cop, right? You just gotta shift the blame to someone, right? And you gotta be the good, squeaky clean person. And so when I talk to a seller, I always explain that the bad cop who isn't conveniently there. Remember, good cop, bad cop. Sometimes one's in the room, someone isn't. Same thing. Bad cop who's going to be my partner, you know, let's say Rick, right? He's always bad cop for me. If Rick does it, Zach's the bad cop, right? And you can always do this. Hey, you know, I was telling my partner Rick on this, and he said he wanted to buy this house for $40,000. So I shut up. I wanted to see what their reaction was. Easy. And then by 40,000, I could never do 40,000. Oh, hey, yeah, I know. Rick's crazy. He always wants to buy this house for the lowest price possible. I know he's nuts. But I mean, what works for you? Oh, you just offered me 40. I didn't offer you. Rick offered you 40. What do you want to? I got to get 100 out of this. Well, okay. Here's the truth, Edward. I would love to buy this thing for 100 grand. Like, I don't really care. But my partner, Rick, he's the one with the money, right? And I'm obviously the one here. I make the decisions here. But Rick's going to kill me if I buy this thing for $100,000. Can we just meet in the middle here at like 70,000? I mean, that makes sense, right? He's at 40, you're at 100. He's going to at least say, what did you try? Can we just meet in the middle here? I mean, it makes most sense, right? Zach, I really need at least 80. I mean, if we can sign something today, like right now, just to get him off my butt, because he wants me to go in like 4 more houses. If we can do it today, we could do 80. Can we do 80 today? Yeah. Okay. Done. Easy as that, right? That's a lot of the good cop, bad cop method. Yeah, there's different variations and ways you can do this, but that's always my way. And so hopefully that little the way I did it works, but like that's how I love good cop, bad cop. It works insanely well. Now, the next one's the volley method. Rick loves the volley method like crazy. It works well for me, but good cop, bad cop, I just had a better closing rate. I don't know why. For most of our acquisitions people, that works better. Some people like the volley method too. It's all personalities wise, but the volley method is basically just making sure you don't give the offer first. It's kind of like playing volleyball, really. And so what is this, right? So really what the volley method is you're just kind of volleying the ball, and the ball is the offer. What I mean by that is like, him as your seller, how much do you need to sell the property for? Oh, you don't know? Well, I mean, if you did know, what would it be? Okay, I know you don't know, but if you really wanted to know, what would it be? Oh, come on, just think of something, right? I just think of a dollar amount. So we're just gonna start somewhere. Okay, just really just think about what it really needs to be. Statistically, if you volley 3 times, you're always gonna spit out the offer, pretty much every single time, and then you can negotiate from there, right? And so this is really, really important that once you give that offer out, that leverage, it's good. Why I like the good cop, bad cop is like, Zach, you're giving out the offer. No, I ain't giving the offer. If Rick gives 40 grand and the seller says, yeah, I'll do 48. Hey, Rick always wants to buy things for super expensive. I got to be the reasonable one here. This is why I'm here. We got to be closer to like 20, right? Whatever he says, it's just what my partner said in conversation. It's actually not a legit offer. And that's why if a seller wants to kick you out, just say, hey, that's what Rick did, not me. I have a different one. He's crazy on price. I'm always going to be a lot more than that. I've always done better doing that good cop, bad cop, or that volley method than anything else. And so it's a great method. Always gets deals done. Love the volley method. Now, the next one's pretty standard. You know, it's not my favorite one. Volley and good cop, bad cop, probably the best one. This is seller first method. Hey, seller, how much are you looking to sell the property for? How much do you need? 100, and then you negotiate from there. You just get the seller out of them for, you get the seller's price first. That works too. One thing I didn't mention on here is what I call the dollar bill method. I absolutely love the dollar bill method. What's the dollar bill method? The dollar bill method is basically saying, oh, Mr. Seller, how much do you sell the property? Oh, I have no idea. I'm like, well, Mr. Seller, I mean, would you sell the property for like a dollar? No, I wouldn't sell the house for a dollar. Well, okay, well, that means you want to take a dollar. And obviously you take $1 million for the house, right? Duh. That means some price between $1 and $1 million will work for you. Well, I guess so. What price is that then? I don't know. You, would you take $2 for the house? Now, how do I have to go to $5? Like what dollar? $40,000. Boom, right? That's the dollar bill method. That's the dollar bill method. It does work well. Some sellers don't like it. Sometimes it works not too well with them. Sometimes it works really well for them. So I just got to be very careful on which one you want to do. But the dollar bill method does still work in wholesaling. So it is one I highly recommend. So seller first method's okay. I would go volley or good cop, bad cop. That's going to be your best one for me. But that's always a good one too. And then again, the standard low ball you could always do here. But for most motivated sellers, if you do that, you'll do well. And kind of next here is we just do the kind of the standard here, right? We agree on the price and we get the contract signed. Easy, simple, really not that complicated, right? Once they agree on the price, we take lots of pictures of the house. We explain to the motivated seller there the entire process going forward and how you and your partner will swing by the house at least one more time to just take a look at it. Don't worry, this isn't going to change the agreement that we have. We're just going to look things over and maybe plan some renovations and once more on the day of closing. On top of that too, you're just going to take the pics, explain that, hey, here's Sally from the title company. She should be calling you. We're going to run the title, make sure everything's clean. My partner's going to come by and actually look at it. We might just get some quotes for the flooring and things, if that's okay with you. Yes, that works. Perfect. Well, what I'm going to do is just expect to call in a couple of weeks of me and my partner coming by and looking at the house. Now they're conditioned for the, basically for the walkthrough. And hey, you're good to go here, right? I mean, it's easy and simple there. I mean, you don't want to complicate things. But that's it. And then just you talk about the property, kind of tell them what's going to move forward, and you're going to go. Now, kind of the last part here is kind of that virtual wholesaling system, okay? So if you're doing virtual wholesaling, what's our acquisitions? What's different with this, right? Some slight things are different. But again, nothing too insane, nothing too crazier, okay? And so what is this, right? Well, number one, there's going to be no appointment, right? So we still have to condition the seller and talk about the house. We're going to have to still get pics of the property or pictures of it after it's signed. And so you got to understand virtual wholesaling, we get the pictures after the contract signed, not before, after, all right? And so kind of our quote here with our acquisitions is, oh, why can't come by and see the house? Well, what we do first is we write up an agreement to purchase the property, right? We just make it really simple. We write up an agreement. And then our partners go out to just confirm the condition, the same as you said, right? That's the way we do things. It's a lot easier. It's a lot more simple, right? We don't have to go run out all these, right? We get an agreement first, just make sure we're upfront with this. And then we have their people come by and look at it, right? And take pictures of the house to just to confirm the condition. So FYI, if your condition is off, we might have to slightly change the agreement amount. But if it's the same as what you're saying, we should be all good. It's always a trust in you, Mr. Seller. And that's kind of how you do virtual wholesale. I mean, just you explain the process and you go from there. You still condition them, right? You don't do anything like that. And you're pretty much good to go, right? Remember, this is super important though. When you give the offer in virtual wholesaling real estate, we stay on the phone. Let me repeat myself. We stay on the phone until the contract is signed. We never get off that dang phone. All right. And so what I mean by that. Hey, Mr. Seller, I was talking to my partner Rick about the property. He wanted to buy it for around $60,000. You can't do $60,000? Okay. But what price? $100,000? Can we meet in the middle? $80,000? Okay, $80,000 works. Well, okay, perfect, Mr. Seller. So what I'm going to do is actually send you over an agreement over email. Let me know when you get it. I just sent it over to your email right now for $80,000. Do you see it? Oh, you want to get off the phone and read it and talk it over? Now, let me stay on the phone with you here. Just so we do this is what we do. Just stay over. So if you have any questions while reading over the agreement right now, you can just ask me right here over the phone. Okay, perfect. Well, take your time, read it over. I'm going to stay on the phone here and let me know when you're ready to basically do the agreement. Okay. Oh, you have a question about inspection. So basically inspection period is basically an agreement for us to go and actually look at the house. Now, I trust you. I put no days on this, but unfortunately, we have to put 45 days here because we do need our partner to go by and actually look at the house. This is not because of you, but we've had situations where the seller says, oh, I'm good to sell the property, and then it's termite infested, or there's bed bugs everywhere and all these issues and the roof's caving in. And just so we're safe, we got to come by and actually eye the property once to make sure it is. We don't have to deal with the inspection period. We only go by one to look at it, right? It won't change the price on the agreement unless there's a crazy change. No Chinese drywall or anything like that. Just you stay on the phone. Once they sign it, boom, you can get off the phone there. Never get off the phone until they sign it. Now, the reasoning behind this is if you get off the phone, your closing rate goes down by half. You know why? This is super important, guys. Once you give that to them, they're going to think about it, or they're going to get that contract and be like, what's the inspection period? This seems fishy. I don't want to go sign. Your closing rate will go from 80 to 40% like that, because you don't stay on the phone with your virtual wholesaling acquisitions. Once you do that, you'll close more deals. And so, guys, that's how you close motivated sellers. It's as simple as that. Remember, everything I did teach you guys is in my free wholesaling course. It's called freewholesaling.com right here. Freewholesalingstinking.com. Now, freewholesaling.com is my free wholesaling course where I teach you how to wholesale real estate absolutely free from A to Z. This is just a slight little excerpt of what I do in the free course, right? This is, I literally made this for today for 2024 for acquisitions. But you got to understand, talking to sellers is an art form. And so me having live conversations with motivated sellers, things like that, I can't even put on YouTube because of the privacy policies, is in the free course, freewholesaling.com. Teaches you how to wholesale real estate absolutely for free. If you like it, go to the free course and we'd be all good to go. So what I want to do is answer some questions you guys had about the acquisitions here. Let me know if you got any value from this. You know, I love doing stuff like this. And that's it. I mean, the way I teach my acquisitions people, same way I teach you guys, right? You don't have to pay me $8,000 to go learn this stuff, right? That's it. So shout out to Chris, smashing that like button. I appreciate that. Isaac, bruh. Do you think his videos are pre-recorded? Shut up. They are real, okay? And they're live. Let me show you this. You know, I love doing this. This is my biggest flex on any guru that does. Throw them live in the comments, brother. Let me show you here. No guru can do this. Boom, look at that. Time.gov just shared my screen. Take that, guru. Easy, simple, done. Boom. Simple as that, right? It's just so funny. It's live because it says live. If it's pre-recorded, it would say, so yeah, I want you guys to understand that if I ever do a video and you don't know if it's live or not, look on YouTube. If it says premiere, it's pre-recorded, right? If it's live, it's live. And so one example of this is we're actually presenting, once we hit 100,000 subscribers on the Flip with Rick YouTube channel, we are going to start releasing the live event that we did and we're giving it to the people. It's going to be premiered, all right? Because I want it to be a premiere so everyone can kind of be in the chat together. And I will let everyone know it's pre-recorded. The event already happened, all right? It's all edited and things like that. But we have to hit 100,000 subscribers on Flip with Rick first. So if you're watching this, do me a favor. If you got any value from this, go to the Flip with Rick YouTube channel, subscribe to it, and then whenever that starts happening, whenever we hit 100,000, we'll start releasing the live event. It'll be pretty fun. The premiere would be kind of cool. A dude says, can you actually see the chat? I think I can. Hope so. Ravon says, can anyone remind me of the live schedules? So we got a lot here, all right? And so let me explain this. On Mondays, there's no live streams. On Monday, there's a live stream at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Rick Ginn YouTube channel. So subscribe to Rick Ginn on YouTube. On Tuesdays, on the Rick Ginn channel, on the Zach Ginn YouTube channel, on the Flip of the Rick channel, and even the Wholesaling Houses for All YouTube channel, we go out here and we go live at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard on Tuesdays and then Thursdays. And then on Fridays, there's no live. Now, Saturday's no live, Wednesday's no live, and then on Sundays on the Zach Ginn YouTube channel at 10 p.m. Eastern, I go live for my West Coast people. Simple as that, right? And so I do have another channel, so I have four channels. It is Flip with Rick, which is the one is the main channel. You hopefully help us get to 100,000, so release that awesome. It'd be awesome to go out here and actually show you that live event. That'd be pretty cool. There's the Zach Ginn YouTube channel, which is just me. I release exclusive videos on wholesaling on there. There's the Rick Ginn YouTube channel. Subscribe to him. He has exclusive videos too. And then we have a fourth channel. It's called Wholesaling Houses for Real. It's basically for our Facebook group. And what we do is we kind of cut out these live streams And so what you understand is maybe these live streams will run an hour, two hours, right? It'll be cut down to like 20 minutes and all the spaces and just be kind of cut like a good edited video. We have editors full time that just edit and they post clips of my presentations and make it. So this presentation will probably cut down to like 35 minutes. It'll be posted on the Wholesaling Houses For Real group in like a month or two, right? So on that channel. So make sure to subscribe to it's called Wholesaling Houses For Real. Wholesaling Houses For Real. And basically everything we have clips, conversations with people, right? It's pretty cool. It's on there. And so that's the fourth channel we have. So we have four YouTube channels. It's pretty gangster. So yeah, that's where we're all on here. So yeah, I like it. And those are all Eastern Standard Time. So take the time off wherever you're at too. Shadow X. Hey, Zach, why don't you say you don't like hard money buyers as cash buyers? Because they're not cash buyers. Those are hard money buyers. Hard money loans are hard money buyers, not cash buyers. Cash buyers are called cash buyers because they buy with cash. Duh. I'm trying to be funny to a point, but like it's true though. And the reason is because they need underwriters. And I've seen a lot of people use hard money buyers and the underwriter says no at the day of closing and lose out the deal. So no. Chris says he's given real game. I do this all the time. Love it. Shout out to Chris. Appreciate that. Trying to give as much real game as possible. So what I want to do is do some one-on-ones here. And so what I want to do is show you how to actually talk to me one-on-one. A lot of people ask, Zach, how do I actually talk to you one-on-one? How do I have a real conversation with you here, right? Well, the best way to have a conversation with me is to go to Wholesaling Houses For Real. This is my Facebook group. Let me give you the link. As 123,000 of my best friends are all on here. And what we do is we talk about wholesaling real estate. And so here's the link on here. www.facebook.com/groups/wholesalinghousesforreal. When you go in there, you'll see I always pin the link before the live streams. Is you go here, right? Wholesaling Houses For Real. You scroll down, featured, click that, click join here, and you'll be joined in to talk to me absolutely for free, one-on-one. Easy and simple. And then you'll talk to me just like Xavier. Bro, what is up?
My guy, Zach, what's the deal? So look, I'm wondering, can we do a close right now? What you think?
Bro, Xavier, I've already closed the seller during a live.
I know.
Remember that? Listen,
look, though. So basically, I went on I had my buyer walk through a house yesterday, but the house was locked up too high. So that's a different house. And I have another house down in Grand Rapids, but I just got off the phone with him. I told him I'll call him back, but he's a stubborn seller. So I've been talking with him. I followed up after a year. So it's a duplex, two houses on the same parcel. And his asking price is kind of high. So I'm sending it to my buyers. And they don't know yet. But I know, dealing with you, I think we could get them lower. I'm not counting on
you. Yeah, sure. Send me the address right now. We'll call them right now.
No, let's call them right now. Let's call them.
Like, can you literally give me the address?
Yeah, can I email it?
Put it in the private chat.
The private chat? I don't know if it's a private chat.
All right, well, email me then. Support it for the record. I'll pop it up. Let me look at it for a second. I'm really calling. You guys want me to close this guy right now?
Should I just do the chat? Come on, it's a closing video.
Yeah, put it. Email me. Let me just see it really quick.
All right, hold on. What's your email? Is it support@flipandrent.com?
Yep.
All right, cool. I'm sending in right about. It should be from.
All righty.
Hold up. Okay, yeah, I got it. It should be sending about 5 seconds. And it's Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now, this is the thing, though. He's the stubborn brother. It's three brothers that own the property. And he's the one, he is the one that is holding the property. But they are overseas, and one of the brothers are in a financial pinch.
Okay, let's see.
Oh, yeah. I also did what you told me to do, and I got like 10 buyers. What's the price on this? Say what?
What's the price?
He's looking for, I got him at 228, but that's still too high to me. I feel like I could get him at 185.
What's the MAO?
The max allowable offer, that was around that 228 for me. But for him, he wanted 235. But 228 is the max.
Okay, where do you want to be at?
I'm trying to get him to at least 185. No, but 185 to make it a deal.
Is it cash flowing at all?
Yeah. One unit is bringing in $1,200 a month. The other is bringing in $1,100. It's a two-bed, one-bath, and a one-bed, one-bath. Michigan basement is not finished.
A two-bed, one-bath, and a what? A 1-1?
Yeah, 1-1.
All right, that's easy. All right, let's do it. Calm. Put your volume up on this, so talk a little louder.
Cool.
Oh, wait, what's the guy's name?
Dan.
Dan?
Yeah, D-A-N, Dan.
All right, let's get it.
All right, let's get it on. Let's get it on. Hopefully he answers. Let's see. Hey, Dan. Hey, so I have my partner right here, Zach. His name is Zach, and he just wants to talk to you for a minute.
Hey, is this Dan?
Hey, Zach. How are you doing? Nice meeting you.
Doing good. Nice to meet you here. So I kind of look at the address here. You know, Xavier was telling me a little about it. I mean, what's going on with the property here?
I don't know what you're referring to. Like, why am I selling? Or what?
Yeah, so, I mean, here we go. Yeah, I'm just trying to see the situation here. You told me it's a 2-1, a 1-1. It's cash flowing. So this is basically a rental property, right?
Hold on. The call lost. Wait. We're going to go back. They hung up. Fuck. I mean, I didn't mean to cuss. All right. My fault, bro. My fault. Hey, Dan, I lost the call. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Hey. Yeah, no, what I'm basically asking is Xavier told me there's some brothers trying to sell it. I'm just trying to kind of get the situation on this. Is this?
So, I guess long story short, it's me and my brothers. They live overseas. We just decided to kind of find something that will keep us together because I'm here alone in the state. So we kind of got together. We bought it together, but everything is on my name. So some of the decisions on the direction we're taking, we're just kind of calling, making the direction and the decisions all together. So sometimes if I take a pause, take a minute, you know, chat with them and see where we want to go with it, that's the reason. As far as like managing the actual transaction, it'll just be with you in front of me because everything's on my name. That's in general why I need to consult with them sometimes. One of my brothers in a little bit of a financial distress and he wants to cash out if the time and the offer is right. So that's basically the reason why we're selling. Me and the middle brother, just we're fine where we're at. We don't really care if it goes or if it stays. We have some other stuff that we have together where, you know, this is kind of paying for itself, paying for other stuff. So to be honest with you, if it doesn't quite line up the way they want to, I don't mind keeping it. It's working. It's approved to rent throughout the city of Grand Rapids. It's got a couple of really good tenants in it. So I kind of went through all the repairs of stuff over the years and, you know, refurbishing some things, you know, protecting it from the back with a privacy fence, you know, some new appliances there. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. When Xavier reached out to me, it was close enough to make sense to make the transaction, but then again, you know, make a call, make sure that everybody's lining up with the offer. So.
Okay, so you said if you and your brothers, if the offer is right, what's the right offer?
We obviously want more, but then as far as timeline, as far as some of the conditions, if some of that stuff line up, then we're probably going to be okay with the offer as it sits. Okay. It was on the market for $250 last year. I just got burnt with a couple of realtors in the past, so I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to throw it out there to just bypass realtors. I know it doesn't really speak to, like, private buyers. It's more for, like, investors, just with the nature of what that property looks like. Mm-hmm. I'm not really drawing a whole lot of crowd. It's mostly like sharks around here that just want rentals. So that kind of puts us in a different position. We had a bunch of offers, a bunch of them from like out of state investors that just it got nowhere eventually with each and every one of the offers. So
okay.
I have a full time job. I don't have time to just mess with all day to show the place.
I get it. And so the difference between us and anyone out of state, like we're serious. And I'm being completely transparent with you. With a property like this, it's about the cash flow. It's about how much I can get for rent and how much we can buy it for. Simple as that. And so just so I know the numbers here, I know Xavier is kind of in that, I don't know, 228 range, I think he said. I don't know exactly how much he offered you. How much would the rents be on this property right now?
We're getting 11 in one and 12 in the other.
Okay. So that's about $2,300 a month.
And then just reminding you, they're taking care of everything else. So you don't have any expenses. I mean, if you have property management, that's on you. But in general, I take care of it. But I don't pay internet. I don't pay electricity, gas, trash, water. They take care of it all. So I don't need to tell you how some of that stuff adds up. 100 here, 300 there. No snow removal, no trash. I won't say it's clean to your pocket because there's obviously more stuff to it, but you don't have any bills.
Okay. Do you own multiple rental properties?
No, we're kind of like down to just those two.
Got it.
Some vacation stuff with siblings, but that's it for rentals.
Got it. And so for most of the stuff we have found in Michigan for rental properties, is there are some costs obviously to that $2,300 a month you're getting. I know it's not that bad for what you're doing, but upkeep, maintenance, taxes, things like that. Are the tenants paying the taxes?
No, the taxes.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. So looking at the numbers here, we like to go off of a 10% cap rate. I don't want to kind of seem too crazy advanced, but that's what we're going off of. When I pour the money into buying this,
I get it.
I want to make 10% because obviously I can just go get some bonds at 6%, right? I'm not here to go mess around here. So 10%, if I can make that, that's what I want. Based on the numbers here, if I'm going to net about $1,650, $1,610 every single month in this, I'm going to have to probably use a 10% cap rate there. And what is that? $161,000. That's what I'm looking at here for a 10% cap rate.
And that's okay if that's the logic you want to follow. If you feel like the price is too high, I understand. Price-wise, this is where we need to be.
Where?
If you like, at least this is where we need to be. Like with your offer, I feel like we wanted to push for a little bit more, but I think at 228, we should probably be okay. And so.
Okay. Well, I mean, 161 would be the 10% cap rate for us. I mean, so who is it? Your brother that wants the 228?
I think it's just in general that's what properties in the area are moving for. If it doesn't make sense to you, if you're trying to follow like a 10% cap, that's, you know, that's fine. If you're just looking at like what properties that are bringing this much monthly are moving for. They're moving in the range of like that number, if not even more. So,
who offered you 228 for the property?
What's that?
Has anyone ever offered you 228 for that property?
I got offered 235, 240, and 250. It was just like I said. It was last year. It was out of state. One from Washington, I believe. One from Buffalo, and one local. They offered 250. We got to the signing and then they fold. It's just like local family. They own a restaurant. They're living close. They want to be close to family, live in one, rent the other. Just didn't work out. So that's why I told Xavier from the first moment, like I've been doing this for a whole year. I don't really want to go back and forth one more time. So you're serious.
I get it. I'm serious. At 228, I've seen people are offering you that. And that was before interest rates went a lot higher. And it got a little more harder to buy properties. Those people are flaky at 228. They don't want to buy because they know it's too high. I'm at 161 here. And obviously, we're kind of both apart here. If you're actually serious about this, and Xavier, close your ears here. If we just met in the middle here and we just cut all the games and we were able to buy it now, will that work?
It would work if we're doing in the neighborhood of 228. I wouldn't go anywhere below that.
I mean, would you want to go with someone that...
I don't know what you're trying to say, like meet between 228 and 160?
I'm at 160. You're at 228. Why don't we meet the middle at like 195?
Yeah, you probably wouldn't be interested.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't go down, I can't go up. So no, I'd probably go with a realtor here then.
What's that?
I'd probably go with a realtor. I'd let the tenants know.
That's what I was trying to do in the past. And like I said, I got burned. My realtor, almost 100% was that he got like a boardwalk from my house. Like he got like 80 people within 3 days and sold the house. Like by the fourth day, I had 10 serious offers over asking price. And he just kind of tipped it over towards the highest offer that seems that whoever took it was probably the realtor's friend. And they wouldn't let me try to set the house higher at the market price-wise. It seems I don't know. It was a long story. I just feel like I got shafted on it. So
that's fine. There's plenty of other properties in the area we can buy at that 10% cap rate. We'll probably go for that. Unfortunately, if it doesn't work for you, that's okay. But yeah, we can always reapproach this.
Yeah, for sure. You kind of know where I'm at. I understand where you're at. So.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Thank you, Dan. I'll give you a call shortly.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Sounds good. Bye.
Cool. That's stubborn.
Well, he won't even go off a dollar off his price. What am I going to do here?
Yeah.
He won't even go a dollar off of it.
And that's my main thing. I think
that's not a motivated seller, man. He has a price. He's not getting off of it.
Yeah. I think I got to get after a property that just I could get deep discount on and then go for no also.
He's been burned by so many wholesalers because he's so mentally stuck at that price.
Yeah, he's been at it since last year. I followed up with him because I was reminded. And it's just like,
The price go down even more. That's a follow-up type guy, but like he's going with anyone that even giving him a crazy offer. No one's even taking it. He can't go through, the reason I mentioned realtor, he can't go through realtor. You know why? Because he has to tell the tenants and the tenants are going to get spooked. They're going to leave and he's going to have no cash flow going on the property.
Yeah.
I put that seed in his head and he doesn't get it. Just kind of funny, but let me be stuck on his price. I'm not here to go make $1,000 or $2,000 on it.
Yeah.
So let me be stuck on the price, but I'm just, that's it. You're not motivated, man.
Yeah.
Motivated by money, not circumstance.
I found 10 buyers in the Grand Rapids area. I just got to find a good property. So I did everything you said. I'm still working.
That's it, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a good day, bro.
Here we go, man. Hey, I love closing sellers live. This is part of it. If the guy won't even go like a penny off the price, like what are you going to do? Right? If he's not even willing to go from 228 to 220, he's never going to reach me in the middle there. And at 228 MAO, can't even do it. Right? But here's the problem. I don't cry about it. You know why? Because straight up, you're not going to get all of them. But the cool part about this, if he's not even willing to go off the price at all, just follow him up. That's it. So guys, I appreciate it. Guys, like this video. Do me a favor. Make sure you smash that like button. Subscribe. I'll see you soon. This is Zach and Sunny out. Have a blessed one. Boom!